We're on the fly at the Seaplane Base, so we're having a harborside chat with Mark Rassi, the chairman. You've got a guest with us now. Why don't you introduce our guest to the listeners?
Well, Steve, and you're on video as well. Thanks for joining us. And I met Steve in 2017 where he flew his air cam, and he's going to tell about that, but that he and his wife built. And
that's a Lockwood air cam?
Yeah. Yeah, that's correct. Yes, it is.
Yeah. And Steve is just an awesome guy, and his wife, Julie, is even more awesome. Sorry, man.
That's true.
And so they were here, and they want to show people what EA is all about. And that's taking a dream, and the way I describe it is, you know, writing it on a napkin, creating plans, building it in your garage, and then flying it. And then he wants to share flight. So he offers our key volunteers, of course, Steve and Julie both have volunteered at the Seaplane Base, and he wants to give them that experience of seaplane flying. And he'll just do hour and hour and hour and hour after an hour flying airplane, you know, his volunteers. And so now we only saw him for about 24 hours last year. Is
right.
That right?
That's correct.
He retired and then got this job and then realized he was missing out on EAA.
That's right.
And so he ended up quitting his job.
Just to come here.
Just to come to, and I swear, just to come
to EAA.
Not too
far from the truth.
That's inspirational. Yeah. Most of us can't do that, but.
he was retired, and he realized this is what he wanted to spend a week doing. And so, Steve, why don't you tell us about this year and your experience and what you wanted to do with a different aircraft that you had.
Well, we had an intention to. I bought my first experimental aircraft many, many years ago. It was a Zena 701 on wheels.
With that, yeah.
And I flew it back to California with my son, and it's been in and out of operation for many, many years. And we decided to put it on straight float since we got the float bug, my whole family, in recent years. So on straight floats, we put it on a trailer, and we've been dragging it all over this country, having an opportunity to fly here and there. But it's been traveling long ways, and we brought it here, and we intended to fly it here at the Seaplane Base. And my wife and I contacted Mark, and he allowed us to put the wings on our airplane in a location near here and get it in flyable condition. And I want to, you know, get some experience with it before I flew it around with passengers.
Now, we're talking about the air cam, not the
This is the Zena 701.
Okay, we are talking about the 701.
Yep, we have two.
So the wings, they don't fold. You have to take them off, right?
Correct. It actually does have the folding wing option, but we find it easier just to put in cradles when we ship it. It's very quick to put on and off. So my wife built it. She and I put the wings on, and in the process of doing this, found that we'd cause a little bit of problem with the fuel system. And we were stuck. We just didn't think we could fly. And so I called Mark, and I said, Mark, I'm so sorry. I'm not going to be able to do rides this year, and our plane's just not flyable. I'm going to put it away, and I'm probably going to run and grab the air cam, which was down in Florida. And he goes, well, before you do that, hold on. I'm a member of a gang. And
that's
I asked
true.
Him if that involved law enforcement. He said no. And so I had a call from a gentleman, Dan Fulweiler, gave me a call and said, you don't know me. I have a hangar not far from here, and you need to come and bring your airplane to it. And I said, I appreciate that. Thank you very much. And my wife and I packed up the plane and showed up an hour later in his hangar, having never met him. And a horde of plenty of EAA members all descended on our Zena 701, quickly removed a fuel tank where we found a small leak. This is on a Saturday, isn't this weekend, I think?
Yeah, it was.
And three or four other EAA members of this gang grabbed this fuel tank. It disappeared. I don't know where it went. It came back fixed and put back in the airplane, and we were back in the water a day later. So it was pretty amazing. And we didn't know any of these people prior to Mark dragging us into this gang. So are we officially members now?
Oh, absolutely you
yes.
are. And lifelong friends, hopefully.
Is this a name that we can say
now,
on the
you
radio?
Know, somebody asked me, no, we don't have, it's just my way of referring to a group of guys that are truly EAA members and just have an insight to airplanes, and they want to keep airplanes flying. So we reached out to help Steve, and we just wanted to get the airplane flying. Now, with a number of other details, Steve decided maybe the best route was to go and get his air cam. Now, the air cam was a known entity. It had been currently flying versus the Zenith was on a trailer for some time. and he wanted to be able to share that experience again at AirVenture. So what did Steve do? He jumps on an airliner, flies down to Florida. This is, again, just a few days ago or prior to AirVenture, and jumped in the AirCam. And did you fly up with a couple other
It was a great experience. We kept it at Sebring, Florida, and so I walked over to Lockwood, you know, the home of the AirCam, and they just happened to be delivering their aircraft up at the same time. So I jumped in on their flight and flew up as a flight of five.
Oh, that's cool.
From Sebring. It was great. Yeah, great experience. Yeah,
yeah. I know he's here. I saw him at the corn roast.
Yeah. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And there's one right across the lagoon there as well. So Steve came up, flew all the way from Florida just to do that, just to share it with other people, and did manage to get some local flying in, give some rides, I'm sure. And yes. And now, for some reason, he wants to leave. But his wife, Julie, right now is in the forum tent giving a briefing on something to do with
seaplane safety.
Seaplane safety.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And she, too, is a pilot. Now, how much would you say the build of your aircraft was instrumental from Julie's point of view?
It was her build. We arrived here about 5 years ago. Kind of undecided. We didn't know much about seaplane flying. It was a cool place to take a break during EA, is how it was for us at that time. And looked around and thought this might be something we might be interested in. In the process of that, walked over and saw a Seaplane Pilots Association brief. Steve McCahey was briefing about seaplanes. And at the end of that brief, I grabbed Steve and said, hey, if I want to be a seaplane pilot, what should I do? And he gave me a couple schools to go to. I was still in the military at the time, and one of my deployments took me to Alaska. Got my single engine C up there during that deployment. I had a break. And 2 months later, my wife ordered an AirCam kit.
And you didn't know?
I had no idea. So
this was like a birthday present or something?
Not, yeah. Yes, it was. It ended up being, but no.
Honey, here's an AirCam for your birthday.
It gets better. She takes lead on the build. We had an A&P and myself, and she led the build and did much of the work, and it turned out great.
So is that a not to say I'm I shouldn't I don't know how to ask this. I want to know how easy it is for the average person like myself or him to build this or her. Is it a pretty well-designed kit? Does it go together like?
You know, it's been around for a while. You know, we were number, I think, 230, so it's a pretty well-baked kit. The manual is pretty straightforward. And really the best thing is we were probably on the phone with Lockwood at least every 3 to 4 days. You know, because you want to be so careful and get it just right. Even though the manual is pretty good, and it's an experimental aircraft, and it does give you some ability to make it your airplane. So if we asked, you know, if this is the right or safe way to do it, we were on the phone. They knew Julie by voice. She was probably the only female builder at the time, maybe ever.
I would think so.
Yeah. So when she picked up the phone, it was, "Hi, Julie. How are you this morning? How's it going?" And she would go on to her questions. So we took us 8 months, but that was 8 months with the three of us. Probably 6 days a week, 12 hours a day. So
wow,
it was our job.
Okay.
It was great, but it took all of that. And then we bought the floats, the amphib floats, their Zenair 2200s. Those were already built and put those on and then flew to Oshkosh. As soon as we got our certificate from the FAA, we hopped aboard, and I flew from California out here to Oshkosh.
Wow. That's awesome.
Now, for those that don't know, this is a two-passenger or one-pilot, one-passenger airplane, twin-engine in tandem. Now, one of the features you have on yours is a canopy. How important is that?
We have the full enclosure. Yes, we built this actually at the time to take up to Alaska, and we knew that we were going to be in and out of inclement weather a fair amount up there. There's no, you don't have a day where you can count on no rain. There's always going to be some rain. Not that you're going to fly in heavy rain in this, but we want to have the ability to do that. So we were one of the early purchasers of the full enclosure kit. And it's just spectacular. We thought we would put it on and take it off for the summer and fly with the enclosure off. We've yet to take it off.
We enjoy
it so much. Right. It has such good ventilation. You don't get hot. The visibility is not impacted. So we're big fans. You go a little bit faster. It helps the performance a bit more. And we like it. You know, so we've had the enclosure on the entire time.
So let me ask you, since I'm from Wisconsin, it's not always beautiful like this. What about heat? Does it have heat, that enclosure? Would that help, or is it just to keep you out of that inclement?
It's called pants and a jacket. Actually, the only thing I have a plug-in defroster. You can, if you get up, I actually took it up to 11.5 on the way from California to cross the Rockies. and the outside air temp was chilly, and it still got us up there fine, but I was concerned about, you know, fogging up. So I do have a defroster I can plug in. I've never used it and really never needed the heat, no.
So what about fuel flow and something like that and speed? I mean, it's an economical airplane to operate. I know it's somewhat costly to build and to get going, I mean, because it does have the two Rotex engines. Now, I know that some people will ask you this, and I'm going to just answer it for you, but I would ask, how long did it take you to get from Florida to Oshkosh, Wisconsin? But the answer is 2 hours. And because you don't want to stay in the air that long. You like to land, use the toilet, to get something to drink, get something to eat. But is that what you did, is do a bunch of hops?
That's exactly what I did, yes. Yeah.
So 2 hours is the answer.
That is the exact answer. Thank you for helping me with that.
Well, Steve McShay, thanks for joining us. It's a cool story, you and your wife. And the passion that you share in the building of an airplane, that's pretty... There's a lot of men that build airplanes while their wives are in watching TV. This is kind of a unique story.
Absolutely.
It's been a pleasure.
All right. J-Mon-G, we're on the fly at the seaplane base. We're having a Harborside chat with Mark Grassi, the chairman, and we'll be back. You're listening to EA Radio.